I am so excited because today, so we're doing our mini course. Yesterday we did self-love foundations. Okay. Today we're doing coaching, intro to coaching. And coaching is a career. And what it looks like, because we talked all about self-love yesterday, today we're talking about what it looks like to bring that work outward. So we're not just doing it for ourselves, but we're facilitating it for other people. So I see that there were some people who need a recap. So I'm going to do a quick recap and then we'll dive in to today's training. Yesterday, I introduced myself. So if you haven't, I'm not going to do my whole story again, but I'll do just a very brief version of it so you know where we're coming from. So my name's Melanie Monaco. I'm a master self-love coach, and I've been coaching. Well, I've been in the wellness space since I was 18, and I did my first yoga teacher training. So quite some time. I'm in my 30s now, and it's been the most amazing experience of my life because what really started as a journey where I was trying to change myself because I was ashamed of the way that I looked and I hated parts of myself, turned into this really profound personal transformation of self-love over the course of a decade. I gathered certifications and trainings, and over that time I built my business, and my business has evolved as the community has grown. And so I started health coaching, and then it turned into self-love coaching. And then I started, after people were asking me to mentor them, I started the self-love coach certification course in 2020, and now we're here. I also have a whole spiritual component in my business where I'm doing a ritual facilitator initiation, which is like a spiritual leadership training in the new year as well. And I have a guided rituals membership, which is kind of like a guided meditation experience where you get new meditations every week, except they're even more than just a meditation. It's a channeled spiritual experience. So those are the different components of my business. I now mentor other business owners. I've been doing that for several years now. I do have a background in marketing, which is really an amazing asset because the way, and we're going to talk more about this, the way that I look at business is really from a community focus. So it's not about getting sales like in a sleazy way. It's not about, I'm not in it just for the money, right? It's really about cultivating connections. Good marketing is storytelling and community building. And both of those things are healing, right? How many of us have felt so disconnected from having community? What does it mean to be in a space with people who understand you, who get where you're coming from, who aren't judging you? Let me know if that resonates with you. If you've struggled to find community, or maybe you've had the experience of being in a community, maybe you're already in our community and you're like, oh, I finally have people who understand. That's healing. And that's a lot of my background in marketing is really coming from that mindset, and then also storytelling. And stories have been used for hundreds of thousands of years as a way to make meaning and to connect the dots and cultivate connection within ourselves and with something greater. And good marketing is storytelling too. And so we're going to be talking about that business component. But I think I know because I've lived it that there's a way to build a business as an entrepreneur that feels really good, that's in alignment with your values, that isn't feeling like you're selling yourself or you're manipulating people or you're, having to set your own values aside to make money. There's a way to do it that feels really good. So we're going to be drawing upon my experience in marketing. I worked in marketing in New York City for a time and planned events, and I did so many amazing things with a healing space in Brooklyn when I was living in New York City, helping them with their marketing. And it's all just culminated to now the work that I do in supporting other business owners. So yesterday we talked about self-love foundations. Your brief recap is that we did a self-love roadmap. So the self-love roadmap is a framework that I created in my coaching career after I had started working with clients and I had seen a pattern in terms of how people moved through their journey of transformation. And the self-love roadmap is a five-step process. So the first step is self-forgiveness. Second step is self-acceptance. Third step is self-gratitude. Fourth step is self-care. And the final step is self-trust. And it's, people call it the self-love cycle, the self-love layers. There, you can really call it whatever you want. It's a framework and it's been used by thousands of people around the world now. And it's so transformational. If you haven't watched yesterday's mini course training, I definitely recommend that you go back and do that at some point because it will change your life. It gives you a pathway forward where you can actually see where you're going in a healing journey. And it's not like just, you know, putting self-love on top of all of the hurt without doing the healing work first. We do the healing work through the self-forgiveness and self-acceptance so that when we bring in things like self-gratitude and self-care, we're not just putting a band-aid. This is about doing some really deep inner work to change the way we relate to ourselves and our entire life. And it's so transformational. Self-love is not about just saying, you know what, I love myself and that's it. It's really about going to the darker parts of yourself, the parts of yourself that you're ashamed of, the lived experiences that haunt you, and learning how to love that too, learning how to bring compassion to that too. And I hope you see the distinction. Let me know if that makes sense. But that's kind of your brief recap of what we did yesterday. And I do recommend you revisit that because this is a framework that you can not only use with yourself, but you can bring to others. And it's so magical. Okay, so let's talk about coaching as a career. I would love to know in the comments who here is interested in being a coach and who here is maybe already working in the wellness space. So let me know, or in the chat, I guess it's not really comments, it's a chat. Let me know in the chat who here is wanting to do this work professionally or is already doing this work professionally. And along with that, I would love to know why. What is your why? Like, is it because you want to have a career that feels purposeful? You want to help people? You want to be an entrepreneur, be able to make your own schedule, have a business that's in alignment with your values? Let me know why. One of the most wonderful things about coaching is that it is a career that you will make work for you. And it's a career that is purposeful. It is a career that helps others and also keeps you accountable to your own healing journey. All right. So, yeah, I am for all the reasons you named. I'm a Reiki practitioner and Akashic Records healer. I love that. Want to integrate self-love coaching. I want to help women have a better relationship with themselves. I've done coaching and find it purposeful. Yes, absolutely. I also want to mention, I want you to stick around the whole time because, especially if you want to do this work professionally, I have a giveaway. So, yesterday I did a giveaway, you'll remember. Some of you enrolled and you got that giveaway last night, which was so exciting. And the giveaways continue today. So, I'm going to announce that at the end. So, in my healing journey, I realized my purpose is to heal and inspire women, build in my poetry book. Beautiful. I love it. Okay, great. So, what does it mean to actually do this work as a career, and what does it require of us? I want to first give you an idea of what it doesn't include. Okay, so coaching is not advice giving. It's not showing up and giving people a pep talk, though there can be components of it that our motivation, and there can be components of it that are, you know, providing resources. We're not just showing up and giving advice. We're not just showing up and giving somebody a pep talk. The most important thing to remember is that it's actually, as the self-love coach, it's not about us. It's about the client. And the best coaches are the coaches who know to get out of the way so that the client can access their own inner wisdom. A self-love coach is a leader, is a mentor, and a resource provider, and really a space holder. We have clients who are, maybe some of you can relate to this, and actually put in the chat what brought you to your self-love journey, right? So initially my clients were people who had had a similar lived experience to me in terms of struggling with their relationships to their bodies. A lot of my clients came to work with me because they had tried diet after diet after diet and nothing worked. And they were like, I just don't know what to do next. Like, this is my last hope. So they were in a place of desperation. They'd been hating their body for years. And I had had that same experience. So I knew what that was like. And I had done all this training to have all these resources. And I'd had my own lived experience of healing. I want to also mention that as a self-love coach, we understand that though healing is never done, which means that you can still be working on your healing journey and helping people at the same time, because you might just be a few steps ahead of them, but that's enough for you to provide the space for them to transform. Let me know if that makes sense to you. So yeah, I see in the chat, lots of heartbreak, not knowing my worth brought me to my self-love journey. Yeah. So you'll have clients who've had that same experience, who've had lots of heartbreak, who don't know their worth. And some of you, I see a lot of people want to support women, which is something you've gone through yourself. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of shared experiences here. Yeah. Okay. So coaching is not advice giving. It's not telling people exactly what to do. It's giving people something like the self-love roadmap, right? A framework, but then they get to decide and they get to access their own inner wisdom as you move forward. I see Amanda says, I have a long journey of healing myself from trauma and perfectionism. It really resonated with me when you said yesterday that you don't have to be perfect to be loved. I'm glad that resonated with you. Happy to hear it's okay we continue our healing journey. Yes, the imposter syndrome is real. And that's actually like one of the important things that we do in the certification course that I offer, is that that's like something we get to heal as well, right? And healing the imposter syndrome helps us show up. I always tell coaches in training, when you hold yourself back, you're holding yourself back from the people who need you. And there's so many people in the world, so many people are hurting. And I want you to consider like how many times you've heard the same messages again and again. Maybe like those of you who were here yesterday, especially, how many times have you heard people talk about self-love, or have you thought about self-love? But then maybe, you know, I'm thinking about like Amanda, what you said, I don't have to be perfect to be loved. You heard me say that, right? And that was like, oh, that resonated. So you also have your own unique magic, your own unique wisdom, your own lived experience, and you are going to say something which will land with somebody for the first time. Even if they've heard some similar messages before, the way you say it and your energy, it's going to land with people. So a lot of the work that we do in the certification course is you learning how to trust your own wisdom, right? Yesterday, the self-love roadmap, the final step is self-trust. And that goes into the work that we do as a coach, right? You're trusting yourself as a coach. You're trusting your coaching instincts. You're also bringing in the self-care component by doing your diligence to take care of yourself so that you can hold space for other people. I mentioned this yesterday. I've been through the worst few years of my life since I started my business because of the losses that I've experienced in my family. And it didn't mean that I stopped coaching. I actually became a better coach because of the hardship that I faced, because I knew as I was going through it, I knew, okay, I'm going through this dark night of the soul. I had PTSD at one point that I was working with like three different therapists for. I mean, I was serious in terms of like how hard that was and where I was at. Like, see, I had postpartum depression after giving birth to my son, a whole host of things. And I didn't stop coaching because I knew how to separate my stuff and how to hold space for people at the same time. And the magic of it is that the more we go through, the darker things get, and then we go to the depths of our own healing journey, the more space we have to offer other people, the more wisdom we have to offer people, the more we understand our own darkness, our own healing journey, the more healing we have to offer other people. It's like the wounded healer archetype, this very ancient healer. You know, I think about the vision quests, right? Or the intentional removal of the medicine person from their tribe who intentionally goes through this very intense experience in order to gain greater wisdom. And these initiations may not be as part of our general society, but the dark night of the soul, the trauma that you've gone through, is an initiation. And when you can gather wisdom from that, when you can go through the healing journey instead of just trying to leave it behind, but you actually go and meet that darkness, which we do with the self-love roadmap. We did that yesterday. You have more to offer other people. You can only go as deep with your clients as deep as you've gone with yourself. And that's why I want to make it really clear that you can still be on your healing journey and help people. And actually, it's a beautiful thing. Your medicine, your magic comes from that those healing wounds. Let me know if that makes sense to you. The dark night of the soul gets deep and scary. It does. But how beautiful it is if you go through that, that then you can be of service. So you can be on your healing journey and help people. And one of the amazing things about coaching, I'm just talking to my mentor about this too, because she experienced this with me. She's like, you've probably experienced this, but what you're talking about right now, I was just going through last month. It's amazing how the universe or the confluence of energies come together, and you're the people who are attracted to you. It ends up making meaning of what you've gone through because you're like, oh, I learned that so I could help this person. Okay, so that's some of what coaching is to you. And I also have found it to be incredibly healing to do the coaching work because even in the midst of my heartbreak or my trauma, I set it aside. And that's what like all of the skills that we learn in the certification course, the mindfulness work, so the meditation, the energy healing, we do something called emotion mapping, we do EFT tapping, like all of these tools that you learn are there to help you regulate your nervous system and learn how to separate your suffering from your ability to coach. Right. And that's not to bypass it. It's just you're doing the work so that it's not coming out sideways. Right. And there's something amazing that I found in that for that hour, I'm with a client or doing a group class or training or whatever, I'm setting my own stuff aside and I get to be witnessing other people's healing journeys. And there's something about that that is actually healing for me. I think of it kind of like energy healing. Some of you here are energy healers, so you know this. But in energy healing, it's talked about how, you know, the healer is the conduit. So you actually experience the healing energy as you're transmitting it to the client, right? And I think coaching is actually very similar in that you experience healing too by being part of somebody else's healing journey. And it's very soothing and liberating and magical in that way. I'm glad this all makes sense to you. Yes, you don't have to have it figured out to be a coach. And actually, I really want to encourage you if you stumble across any coaches out there or mentors who claim they have it all figured out, run the other way. Because nobody does. We're human. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And one of the amazing things about being human is that there's so much we don't know. The great mystery of it all. And anybody who thinks they have it completely figured out, run the other direction because they don't. But we, a coach, here's the analogy I give. A coach is there to walk with a client on their healing journey, not to tell them where to go or what to do. So your client, let's say your client has a goal. This is the analogy I give. The client wants to climb a mountain. And so the client doesn't really know how to do that. They just know that they're stuck in the valley, stuck in this mud, but they want to be up there. So they invite you to walk with them on their journey. So you're walking with them on this path towards the mountain, and there's a boulder in the way. And they're just like sitting there, like, I don't know what to do about this boulder that's in the path. And as the coach, you get to say, well, okay, we could climb over it. We could go around it. We could move it. We could go another path. But what is your wisdom telling you to do? Right? The client might be so stuck that they can't even see those options. But once you show them the resources, then they decide what path is best. And so then, okay, let's walk around the boulder. And you keep going, and another obstacle comes in their path, right? And maybe it's a prior lived experience or a relationship or a belief system they had about themselves. And you identify it together. You show them the options forward. They choose the option that feels best to them. You keep going, right? And it's one block, one resistance after another until you finally get to the top of the mountain. And with coaching, we usually do set programs. So there's a specific goal. It's not just like, I hate myself, I need a coach. It's like, what do you actually want? You want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and feel confident. You want to be able to have a career that feels purposeful. You want to have you want to feel sexy and confident enough to cultivate or attract a romantic relationship, right? Let me know if you like this analogy and if this is clear to you, because I love this. I think it really shows us what coaching can be. And so you have this set goal. You guide your clients through the path to that goal. And once they get to the top, they've all of this lived experience now with you of overcoming all of these obstacles, so that when new obstacles come their way, they have that lived experience to rely on, and they have a new goal, and they can go through the experience again, but they don't have to rely on you to do it. And we're not in the business of making people reliant on us indefinitely, right? We're not in that business. We're in the business of giving tools so that they can do this work themselves and carry it through their whole lives. And like, yes, client relationships can continue and you can continue to work together in programs, but you don't want people to be like reliant on you, because we want to culture and foster self-responsibility and self-love. So as a coach, your job is to guide the clients to their own inner wisdom. So in the certification course, we talk about all of the different tools and resources, right? And you actually use them first so that you know what it feels like, and you know you're on your own self-love journey. You know what works for you. But then you have this whole toolkit of, like, we have 70 video lectures in the pro over that, and each one of them is a different resource. So think about that. 70 over, and that doesn't even include the different tools that I offer in the live coaching calls. I'm going to go as far to say there's at least 100 different resources and tools that then you get to offer your clients, which is phenomenal. Okay, I want to know if there are any questions about coaching, if this is all making sense. We're going to be getting to the giveaway as well. Let's talk about what it means as a career. Like, what it means to do coaching professionally. We've talked a little bit about what coaching is in a practical sense. In one-on-one work, it's you and the client, and you're offering them experiences. I'm not about just like a session, but it's an experience, a healing experience. And there's a lot of questions that you ask them. You want to ask questions that guide them to their own inner resources, their own wisdom. So just yesterday, before our mini course yesterday, I was on a training call with coaches who are currently in training. They're in their first month of the program. And I was doing a coaching with one of the people in the training. And it was really phenomenal because I literally, you know, she was struggling with self-forgiveness and what it meant. And we did an exercise in the session that brought her to meet with her inner child. And we talk all about guiding those types of journeys for clients. We do archetypal psychology and shadow work. We have this whole meditation journey that you get to give to your clients. And it's really remarkable. So I guided her in a meditation type experience to meet with her inner child. And in that, she had this huge revelation that clued her in to why she was struggling with certain belief systems. And then I asked her what she felt was the resource that she wanted to carry with her. And she created her own tool, which was to, in the mornings, connect with that inner child part of her, repeat. She created her own affirmation based on her experience. And then I said, okay, so are you going to remember to do this? You know, how are you going to hold yourself accountable? She decided to set her own alarm every morning, you know, and she created this whole action plan for herself to dedicate to healing that specific belief system. And she did that on her own with my guidance. But you see what I'm saying? It's so different than if I were to just be like, okay, here's an affirmation. Here's what you do. Holding yourself, like I'm holding you accountable. There you go. Like, see how much responsibility there is in there and how empowering that was for her. So that that's why I use that example, because I just did it yesterday. But in a session, you can do similar things to that, right? So we have all these resources and tools that we provide you to coach. It can even just be asking really powerful, specific questions. And one of the other things that we rely on for coaching is our intuition. So we do a lot of intuitive development in everything that we do, because I believe that each of us has our own powerful intuition, and we can all connect with each other on energetic levels, not just through conversation, like frequency. And in that, the more in tune you are with your intuition, the more you have to offer your clients. So I intuitively was kind of guided to offer her that inner child thing, even though that wasn't explicitly what she said she was struggling with. I could intuitively tell that was happening beneath the surface. And it did turn out that that was really powerful for her. So doing a lot of intuitive development is so important, not just having the actual technical training and the resources, but knowing when to use them and what to use. That's really a powerful part of this journey. So that's kind of the example of what a session can look like. And then in between sessions, you might provide the client with some more resources, right? So in this example, she already did her accountability of what she was going to do in between sessions. But, you know, I could provide her with a guided meditation that she listens to, right? I could provide her with a worksheet, maybe a journal prompt of connecting with that inner child part. And you get in the training course 200 pages of worksheets that you get to use with clients. So there's so many things that you get to provide your clients as resources in between sessions. In terms of the, let me know if you have any questions about that. In terms of the actual experience of being an entrepreneur, because it's one thing to talk about, okay, what does a session look like? How does this work function? But how do we actually build a business? How do we actually get clients? How do we make an income that is sustainable, that allows us to do this work? Because let's be real, like, would it be wonderful to be able to just be of service indefinitely for free? Absolutely. But in the society that we're in, that's unsustainable. You deserve, just like we're talking about, you're worthy of love yesterday. You're also worthy of living in freedom, financially, in freedom, time-wise. You're worthy of living a life that is aligned with your values. When I started my coaching career, I could see years ahead that I would want to be a mom, and I could see that I would want to be able to prioritize time with my little one. My mom, I don't know about you all and your experience of childhood. We've all had different experiences, but my mom had to go back to work 7 weeks postpartum, had terrible postpartum depression. And that was just, and then she left me with a neighbor, 7 weeks old. Well, she went to work and was struggling with depression. I mean, it sounds horrific, but this is unfortunately the standard. Some people only have 2 weeks maternity leave. It drives me crazy because at that time, if any of you are moms, or maybe you've witnessed somebody as a mom at that time, those first few months, I mean, like I did not feel at all equipped to do anything to leave my baby. Like I had a physical experience separating from my baby just for an hour. It felt like I was like dying. It was very intense. So I knew that I did not want to have that experience. So I could vision ahead. Because when I started my business, I wasn't even married yet, but I could vision ahead to what I wanted for my life. And I knew I did not want to repeat that pattern. And I knew I wanted to have a business that was purposeful and that helped people. And I'm like, well, and what do I do? How do I do these two things? When I started my coaching business as an online business, way before the pandemic and online businesses even took off. And I started my business. I started, filming workshops and allowing things to be, it's like you create them once and then people can continue to purchase them, right? So it's like residual income, which is an amazing marketing strategy. And then I eventually started to build a team so that by the time I was pregnant in 2021, 2020, yeah, 2021, by the time I got pregnant, I was able to run my business, but also be a mom. And still, I don't work a full, I don't work full 40 hours. My son is only in school 2 days a week and I get to be a mom, which is the dream. And I have an abundant business. And I want you to know that this is so possible. And you can have a business that allows you to prioritize what you value most in your life. So let me know. Some of you, yes, I see that you've had some of these experiences too. So let me know in the chat what you want to prioritize. Like what you want to prioritize in your life. Is it time with your family? Is it traveling? Right. Before I was even a mom, I was traveling all around. I wanted to travel the world. And so I was doing my business. I was doing coaching calls from hotel rooms all around Europe. It was amazing. That was my priority. I wanted to prioritize traveling and I did it. So all of the whatever your priorities are, having a business that allows you to prioritize your values is something you're deserving of. And at the same time, it can be a business that helps people. And you can have so many different offerings that help, like this offering I'm doing literally right now, to be very meta about it, right? I'm doing an offering right now that's free. So you can be of service to people in a free way and also have offerings that generate income. And once you have a team, you're not only generating income for yourself, but for other people too. And how amazing is that? All right, I'm seeing these come through. I want to prioritize my time and traveling and more self-care. I want to prioritize being a mom, traveling, spending time with loved ones and self-care, doing all the things that I love. Absolutely. And you deserve that. So the question now is, what does that look like practically? How do we get there? I talked earlier at the beginning of this call about marketing, right? And I want to hear from you in the chat or in the comments, what your association to marketing is and entrepreneurship, because I want to meet you where you're at. What's your association to like marketing and sales in that component of business? Do you feel like resistance about it? Does it feel like slimy? Do you think of like these hard-hitting, like manipulative sales? It's scary. Yeah. yeah. So when I was 8 or 9 years old, I started my first business. I picked roses from the rose bushes in our backyard. I loaded them up in my little wagon and I went door to door in the neighborhood selling little stems of roses for like 15 cents. And I think when I am in the space of doing marketing work, I think about that version of myself that was so fearless and was actually just having so much fun, right? And there's a way to share your abundance with the world, receive an income for it in a way that feels fair to and equitable to everybody. And that is fun, right? And putting yourself out there, knocking on people, you're not going to probably not be actually knocking on people's doors, but you know what I'm saying, knocking on people's doors metaphorically. That feels like you're just making a connection with your neighbor, right? Yeah. People are saying I'm an introvert. It's hard to sell myself. I create my own templates and put it out there myself for my business. I agree. It's scary. Yeah. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you are the face of your business. And there are certainly examples of people who've built their businesses without doing like live videos or showing their face. Like you can absolutely do that. I do think with coaching in particular, if you want to do like one-on-one work or group programs, or people are actually working with you as a coach, it is important for people to get your energy, to know who you are. So some of the work that we do as coaches is shadow work around the fear of being seen and showing up, because what is required of us to be a coach is to show up and to practice what we preach, to walk the talk, and to do that in the moment so people can understand. When you're coaching, you are connecting with people not necessarily because of your qualifications, though that's important, but because they resonate with who you are. And they need to see who you are in order to have that resonance. I mean, how many of you have had the experience where, there's just you walk into a room and there's like one person in particular where you're like, I don't know about that person, but there's another person where you're like, oh my gosh, I want to be their friend, right? You don't know anything about them. You just have these vibes. And the same thing is true when we're choosing practitioners to work with, right? And so you want to be really in your own vibe, in your energy, reading the room, right? People are going to read the room. And you want to be in your energy so that when people read the room, they're like, oh, that's my resonance. And you're not going to be for everybody. Not everybody is going to resonate with you, but you want to make sure that your energy is bright enough to where people can see you so that if they resonate with you, they can connect with you. Yes, I love this. Okay, I'm going to go over to the chat. I've had a traditional business for many years. Following my calling in the holistic spiritual practices, I feel like I need to go back to learning how to sell myself because it feels I want to do it, help people for free. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm reading the room. It's an instant connection without talking. Exactly. You know what I mean. Jessica says you also have to be okay with knowing not every client is a client you have to take on. Absolutely. Yeah, we talk about this and I'll mention this now actually because this is important. We have a scope of practice. And you want to have enough trust in yourself and knowing with your own abilities is who and who not will be a good fit for you. So early on in my business, I took on a client I knew wasn't a good fit, but I was like, a fresh coach and needed the money. And I just was like, I want to take on work with everybody. I want to help everybody. It ended up being that it didn't work. It wasn't like there was bad blood or anything, but I ended up ending her program because she was not in a good place. She kept ending up in the hospital. She was having all these health things going on. She just was not in a place to do the work. And I kind of knew that early on, but I just really wanted to help her. I could see she really wanted to do the work, but it was not the right time. And you might have clients who come to you and you're like, I think there are other things you need to do first. Coaching is not therapy, right? It's not psychotherapy. I want to show, demonstrate to you what this distinction is. I want you to think about the difference between physical therapy and personal training, right? Physical therapy, you go to a physical therapist because you have an injury. It's very specific, it's clinical, it's technical, it's medical, right? Personal training, you go because you have a goal. You want to feel a certain way in your body. You have certain muscles that you want to tone and strengthen, and you want assistance doing that. You're not going because of an injury, though it can help prevent injury or can help ease things in the body, of course, but it's a different, totally different thing that brings you there. So clinical therapy would be like physical therapy, coaching would be like personal training, except it's with your mental health, your emotional state, your soul, all of that. I think that's a really important distinction. So there are things that we cannot do, right? We're not going to treat and diagnose depression or disorders or PTSD. I have had clients, I do always have clients who struggle with these things, but they also have a clinical therapist they're working with. They can do both at the same time. Like I myself have worked with clinical therapists and coaches at the same time because they do different things. Even just last year, as I said, or I guess the year before, I had postpartum depression. So I was working with a clinical therapist, but I also had my intuitive coach because I was doing two different things. And that's not to say like I didn't talk about similar things with them, but they were offering me totally different things. And I knew that I wanted to do the intuitive healing work to help ease some of my depression, to connect me with my spirituality. And then I also knew that I wanted some of that clinical work for the actual PTSD that I had, right? They accomplish different things. So coaching, we want to know that scope of practice, but we want to be really confident that we can offer people things that other clinicians and practitioners can't. So my best friend in the whole world is a marriage and family therapist, and we talk all the time about our differences in work. And what I get to do that she wouldn't be ethical for her to do is that I get to take clients on past life regression journeys, or I get to bring clients into energy work. I get to bring clients in and do oracle card readings, or talk about astrology or all these things, right? That for me is so much more fun. And just it offers a different type of healing. They're both important. They're both helpful. They just accomplish different things. So, yes, let me look at this. You can do a consultation, but you might want to take a client. You can refer them to other people or suggest seeking a therapist. Yeah, absolutely. Amanda says every morning during my connections, I ask spirit in the universe that only my soul clients come to me and those I can truly help. Good. Yeah. So, somebody asks, I'm a MFT. I'm interested in coaching on the side. Do you know if there's an ethical issue or if there's rules against that? I would look into your state regulations. I don't want to give you legal, I'm not giving you legal advice. Look into your state regulations. I will say that I have seen and that we have had many people who are licensed therapists go through our training course and coach, and that you have just totally different program. You have a program agreement for your clients that says, I'm not doing, obviously you can't take health insurance because you're not doing clinical health care. So you're not taking health insurance, and you have a program agreement that says you're not offering therapy or counseling, that you're offering coaching. And there we offer you a program agreement that you can adapt if you want to in the training course. A template that you can use and, of course, personalize it to yourself. So we've had met, and if you want to talk to, I can think of like two, three people off the top of my head who've gone through our program who are also practicing therapists. So if you want me to connect you with them, send me an email after this and I can send you their information so you can talk to them. So yes, I've had people in the program who have done both. I think different states have different regulations, so you definitely want to do your diligence there, but it's totally possible. Okay. How do we find our clients? We know what we can and can't do. We know what a session looks like. We know some of the shadow work that we need to do in order to show up and be seen by people so that our clients find us. But how do we actually find clients? marketing comes into play. And marketing, as I mentioned, I'm going to reiterate this, is all about connection. It's all about community. I mean, I'm going to get like real meta with you again. I'm marketing right now. I have a training course that's starting in January. I have two different training courses. One is the Self-Love Coach Certification course. The other one is the Ritual Facilitator Spiritual Leadership Training. Of course, I don't really like, I'm just here to connect with you. Like if it's aligned for us to work together in one of those programs, amazing. If it's not, I'm happy to be here with you right now. That's how I feel. And that for me is what marketing is. It's connection, it's storytelling, it's community building. So marketing, we in the certification course, I'll just give you a broad overview of what we cover so that if you were to become a coach, whether or not you did it with me, these are some of the steps that you would do, okay? And you certainly, you don't have to do my training course. You could go off and do this marketing on your own if you wanted to. I will say to be a coach, it's so important if you're coaching that you do a training course so that you know what you're doing. But let's say one of you are Reiki healers, right? And you decide not to be a coach, but you want to know how to market your business better. You can use this. So what you would want to start with is your branding. So that's the first thing we start with, your story, your energy, and finding a way to communicate your story and your vibe. Like we talked about reading the room and the vibe and the resonance between people. You want to find a way to communicate that in a way that people understand, in a way that people get. And some of that is enigmatic. Some of it is just you being in your energy, you being confident enough to show up in your authenticity, right? You being comfortable enough to not have to please everybody in the room, to trust that the people who are aligned with you will come and the people who aren't, you don't need them, right? That's some of that personal work. Business success is so reliant on your personal inner work, especially with coaching. That's why we do that. As self-love coaches, we have to continue to do our inner work. And some of that inner work, a lot of that inner work is directly related to how successful we want our business to be, which is amazing. Like, how cool is it that you get to do your self-love work and then it means that your business is going to be more successful? It's awesome. It's so beautiful. I love that. So you want to do your branding. And your branding is your story. It's getting clear on who you want to help and why. So for me, when I first started my coaching business, my aha moment was when I realized I had to start talking about my disordered eating and my relationship to my body. I didn't want to tell people about that. I just wanted to show up and help people. But then when I started to be more vulnerable, and not to a point that felt like I was oversharing, but you know, like you heard my story today and yesterday, right? When I started to be vulnerable and share bits of my story, that's when my business actually started to be successful. And I learned how to share my story in a way that felt comfortable for me. Like I wasn't sharing to a point of too much vulnerability where I felt unsafe, but to a point that felt inspiring to people. Right? Because your story is inspiring. And other people will see themselves in your story, even if it's not exactly the same. So getting really clear on your story and learning how to share it in a way that feels safe for you and also inspires other people. Learning who your ideal client is, it would be the next step, right? So the first step is your message, your story, your vibe. Right? Then who is your client? Who is your ideal client? So when I first started my business, my ideal client was a woman in her 20s who struggled with her relationship to her body, who tried every diet, nothing worked, and felt like she had no options left. And that's who I marketed to. My ideal client has since shifted. And obviously I worked with people outside of that demographic. I mean, I worked with so many different people, but that was what I had in mind when I was doing my marketing. So who do you want to work with? And you get specific about it just so that you know how to build your programs. And there are people who will work with you who are outside of that demographic. I've worked with men. Like I'm not saying every single person that I worked with was a woman in her 20s who struggled with her body, but that was how I was tailoring my programs. And then there were other people who came in who benefited from that work too. But it just made it so that I was clear in who I was helping and why. Okay. So you have your branding, who is your ideal client, and then you build your programs, right? You can't build your programs until you know who you're building it for and who you are and what you're offering. So then you build your program. So my first program was a one-on-one program that lasted six months. Might have done a couple of different ones. And I charged $1,111 for it. I still just have such an amazing memory of the first time I had a consultation with this woman. She paid in full. And I just was like, what? Because at that time, that was my rent. You know, I was living in this apartment in Brooklyn, New York. And I just was like, oh my God, I just was so thrilled. And I felt like it was the best feeling in the world to be able to get paid, you know, to do this work. And but I built out a program. So on that consultation call with her, she was a woman. She wasn't in her 20s. She was in her 30s, but she was a woman that struggled with her body, had tried everything, just got out of Weight Watchers, you know. And I showed her the self-love road. No, actually, I don't think I had the self-love roadmap yet. No, I definitely didn't. So, but I, in some shape or form, shared with her a path forward with the tools that I had at that time in a way that made it really clear to her that this was a path that could work. And my confidence in the coaching process meant that she became confident in the coaching process, and then she invested. And it was amazing. And that was many, many years ago. But I wanted to share with you I like to share these early stories because some of you are early on in your business and you want to have that program to be able to offer people. So that would be the next step. Okay. I see a question. Will the coaching program help you develop your story to connect with clients? Yes. We do that in the second month of the program. We have a whole week on branding and understanding your story and all these worksheets that help you do it. And you have your live calls where you can work with me and other coaches on it. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the time. We're getting really close to time. Okay, I'm going to get through the rest of this. We're going to do our giveaway. And then we'll talk about tomorrow. All right, so branding, ideal client, your program, and then you need to get your program information out into the world. Social media is the way that I have had the most success. And you don't have to have a big following to have a big impact. You don't have to have 100,000 followers. I've actually worked with business owners who have hundreds of thousands of followers and cannot get a single client because it really, think about it. You really only need 20 people in the room who want to invest with you to have a sustainable income, depending on how much you're charging. But you know, you don't need a million people. We're not here for vanity metrics. You really only need a handful of people who resonate with what you're doing. And then they're going to the word of mouth thing just really helps as well. But focusing on cultivating a small but engaged community is very powerful. Social media marketing, we look at the strategy, the authenticity, showing up and sharing your message with the world, but you certainly don't have to use social media if you don't want to. It's just one pathway forward, but there is strategy there and also creative expression that can be really wonderful. Networking is an amazing way, combining forces with other business owners, people who are in a similar space to you, maybe not doing exactly what you're doing, but cross promotion can be so powerful. In the certification course, we talk about direct marketing and indirect marketing as two different channels. So direct marketing is having actual conversations with people. So doing workshops, doing free events like this, doing Instagram ads where it's actually going directly to people, DM conversations, in-person networking, all of that, direct marketing. Indirect marketing is like you put your post up on Instagram for people to stumble on and find, or you put your, you know, a little postcard about your business in a coffee shop or that kind of thing where people stumble in. And it's important to do both. But I would say the most powerful thing that you can do is to show up and be seen. Because as I said, this whole through line is that to find clients who resonate with you, they need to see you. So you need to be willing to be seen. One of the other amazing things that I need to encourage you with coaching is that there's going to be no. So many people are going to say no. So the majority of people who come into contact with your business are going to say no. You do not need everybody to say yes to you. Where I see most coaches get stuck is that they get one no when they think they're worthless, right? That's why we do the self-worth work. Because you continue to have your trust of the right people are going to find you. And if you have programs that don't have the success you want or offerings that aren't successful in the way you envision, you don't let that get you down. I launch things all the time and they perform sometimes better than I imagined and sometimes not as good as I imagined. And that's fine. You know, we just continue to show up and be of service and trust that the right people will be there and continue to offer services at different levels, offer free services, offer exclusive services that are higher tier, higher ticket prices and everything in between so that you can meet people where they're at. This isn't about like excluding anybody. You can be of service to people and also have an income. So I want to encourage you with marketing, really just be in your energy and be seen, show up and connect with people, have real conversations with people. We talk about all these specific strategies in the course, but I think just starting out, like focus on your branding, focus on connections, a small but engaged community is where it's at. And connecting with other business owners is really, really helpful too. All right.